For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Wes, a win is a win, and I guess for that we should be grateful. Matt D'Agostino, Wes Chang here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast on the Believe Network and on Rivals. Syracuse basketball team on Wednesday eking out a 94-92 home win over Louisville, who was just 2-9 in the conference coming in. It wasn't pretty. There were a lot of warts, but there were also a lot of good things that happened for Syracuse on Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, Matt, when Syracuse beat NC State a couple weeks ago and J.J. Starling had those 26 points, I labeled the podcast the J.J. Starling game. And I think after Chris Bell scores 30 points on 8-for-10 shooting from three-point land, against Louisville, I think we have to label this the Chris Bell game, because that was just, you know, a shooting clinic from him. And as I think one of my favorite sportscasters, I'm sure one of yours too, is Dan Patrick, used to say he was en fuego. And what I also liked about Bell's night was that he was more involved in the game than just the shooting. Normally he just has, you know, 15 points and then like one rebound. He had 6 rebounds, which was, you know, showed his effort there. And then how about that heads up play from Quadir Copeland after that Sky Clark 3-pointer? He made up for that late miss free throw by streaking down the court for that layup. Good awareness from Judah Mintz and a great inbounds pass to hit him in stride. And Matt, I don't know if you thought it was goaltending. I didn't think it was, but it didn't really matter because Malik Brown was there for the stick back, which is probably why the officials kept it the way it was.
I didn't think it was goaltending watching it live. I certainly didn't think it would hold up after the official review, but it did in both regards. But you said it, I think, even more than Copeland getting credit for that. And Adrian Autry said the same thing after the game. Credit Judah Mintz for getting that ball in so quickly. If that doesn't happen, I don't think Copeland has the space up ahead of him to go make the play that he did. So Syracuse, they shoot almost 61%, best field goal shooting performance in a game since 2018. The defense, however, was not particularly great. We do spotlight the offense. Mintz and Starling combined for 40. You mentioned Chris Bell, one of 6 Syracuse players now to knock down 8 or more threes in a game. But that defense, we said hello to an old friend, West. The 2-3 zone made its not only just an appearance, but a mainstay for Syracuse on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think if Syracuse had really lost this game and come out on the other side, we'd really be lamenting the Matador defense, as I like to call it, and, you know, the lack of effort on the glass. So, you know, in losses to Wake Forest and Boston College, you and I spoke about it, Syracuse allowed 60% shooting from the field. And against Louisville, it was only slightly better because they, you know, Syracuse shot over 60%. The Cardinals shot 54% from the field and 11-for-25 from deep. So, you know, that and the rebounding discrepancy, I think, are the two main stories of the game as it relates to Syracuse's deficiencies. You know, Louisville out-rebounded Syracuse 40-21. I mean, that's a significant minus 19 difference. And that's when you could see, you know, Syracuse really missing Benny Williams, which I know we'll get to in a little bit. But, you know, I mentioned Chris Bell had 6 rebounds. Malik Brown had 9 rebounds. And that was pretty much it, because the third leading rebounder for Syracuse after that, Judah Mintz and Quadir Copeland with 2. And again, part of that was, you know, as you mentioned, and to your point, Syracuse was in zone a little bit more. And part of that, Matt, I think, is the roster they have now is basically 4 guards and Malik Brown on the floor at any given time. That's going to lead to a lot of rebounding discrepancies.
Yeah, there's a few things I kind of want to peel away at here. One, I do want to give them credit for a great defensive play. And you mentioned Chris Bell getting involved in more than just shooting. The chase down block he had late in the game was a pivotal defensive play as well. And Adrian Autry sat him earlier in the game, wanted him to do more as far as rebounding goes and be more active other than just finding his shot. And that was certainly one of the key plays of the game, and good to see that Chris Bell was able to respond after being sat down for a couple of minutes because of his lack of everything other than scoring the basketball on Wednesday. But when we've watched the 2-3 zone for years ad nauseum, while it has some great features to it, especially when you get the right personnel, it is susceptible to the long rebounds. It is susceptible to the putbacks because of where the defense is situated and aligned on the floor at any given time. So, you know, it was kind of like, again, seeing an old friend, or like, oh yeah, I remember this happens. Like, there are just some inevitable plays where it's like, oh, like there's just nobody in position on some of these. But there were also a lot where, you know, guards were not in position to rebound, and Louisville took advantage of it. And Autry said it was more of a matchup choice than it was maybe a personnel choice, but he thought Louisville was going to try to pound it inside. And so trying to maybe help Malik Brown out, help him stay out of foul trouble, which he's gotten into the last few games, he tried to go with a strength and numbers approach down low and to go with that 2-3 zone. But 14 offensive rebounds and being out rebounded by 19 is not a recipe for success. But where do we kind of see this going with the defensive personnel? We can go to Benny Williams now because I think it plays right into that. Obviously dismissed from the team earlier in the week. Adrian Autry did not want to talk about it after Wednesday's game. Very vague, as is usual in the college ranks of he's not here anymore. That's about all I want to say about it. Did say it was very emotional for he and the entire team. Where do you think that sets up Syracuse now? A 7-man rotation on Wednesday. No Kyle Cuff at all. Peter Carey, 5 minutes. The rest of the guys playing 24 minutes or more apiece. Is this kind of what we're going to see the rest of the way now that they're down to basically 7 guys plus Peter Carey and Mahir Hima?
Yeah, so one thing we were texting last night, and you know, I sent you the press conference and you said, I just wish for once a coach would be honest and actually say just what happened. It's never going to happen, but you know, we can hope. But yeah, I think, you know, and our Nate Tramdax covered that game at the Dome. So, you know, he and I were also texting post game. He was just saying how the locker room was really somber. And, you know, given that Syracuse had just pulled off a really dramatic win, I think that kind of speaks to, you know, what the players think of Benny Williams. And you mentioned it too. Adrian Autry said it'd been a really hard day, couple hard days. And, you know, you could really feel that. And we posted interviews with Kadir Copeland and Juna Mintz. They were very subdued and very somber. So anytime you lose a teammate in that fashion, and he appeared to be well-liked on the team, I think that's going to affect morale. And, you know, getting back to your original question of the basketball standpoint, you only saw, I think it's really just a 6-man rotation, you know, now that Williams is out. And that's beginning to look a lot like a Jim Boeheim rotation. You mentioned, you know, Kyle Cuff didn't play. And as a result, Kadir Copeland actually took up most of Benny Williams' minutes, 30 minutes off the bench. And then, you know, Peter Carey having a cup of coffee, that only 5 minutes. So you really think about only 7 players getting off the bench, 8 games left in the season, and they have to go 5-3 now to get to, you know, your magical number of the 20 win mark. So I think Autry's got to go with the guys he trusts now. And it's going to be a Jim Boeheim rotation, basically 6 guys. And then, you know, a 7th is really necessary if Malik Brown needs a blow. And, you know, Carey's going to come in for those 5 minutes.
Yeah, we were celebrating earlier in the year the fact that this was a true 9 or maybe even 10 deep roster for Adrian Autry. And now this situation dictates that it's going to be buttoned up the rest of the way. I am sure that much of the somber mood in the locker room was due to the Benny Williams situation. But also, this felt like a game that should have been more in command than it was. It was tight the entire way. In fact, Syracuse started the game 9-2 down before they go on a 14-2 run. But this game was within a couple of points almost the entire way. And now you're looking at the reality of no Benny Williams. Hey, yeah, a friend of ours is no longer on the roster. But also what that means in terms of tightening up the rotation. And they've now given up 92 and 94 points in their last 2 games. And teams are shooting over the last 3, almost 60% combined from the floor against them, over 50% from downtown. So there's part of me that thinks, you know, the reality is kind of set in terms of, oh, like we've got some deficiencies now that McLeod is out. Williams is no longer on the team. Mahir Hima has not been part of the rotation at all. I can't help but think a little bit of that is, you know, we really should have done better in this one against a Louisville team that's at the bottom of the conference.
Yeah, and I think Chris Bell talked about it after the game. He said one of the things he said was, you know, everyone expected us to blow them out, but they're actually a pretty decent team. There's no such thing as maybe a cakewalk in the ACC. So I think, you know, in terms of beating Louisville, I know they don't have the best record, but it's still hard to win. And Syracuse has been really good at home. But again, coming off these kind of, you know, the two-game losing streak plus losing Benny Williams, I don't know if you can just say, oh, well, you know, Syracuse should have won by 20, because I don't think that's how it works in the ACC. I think that's first. And, you know, again, I don't know how – defense is about effort, right? And I don't know if it, you watching the tape, Matt, do you think it's just a lack of effort or is it a scheme problem? Because I think it's a little bit of both. I think because you've recruited to zone and you're playing man defense, there's going to be some deficiencies there. And I think you're missing – you know, you're missing some big guys that are going to help you out with some of those deficiencies. So I don't know if they can – just, you know, flip a switch and then the last eight games of the season they're going to go 5-3 as a result.
And let's not discount the fact that a 2-3 zone, especially the way Syracuse likes to play it, is not something that you can just throw back into the equation without some difficulties along the way. I mean, think about it. They played it for so long and it was so ingrained in them to do an about face this year and go to man to man and then come back to it, maybe for just a game, maybe this becomes a more regular thing the rest of the way, but to do it just for a game is not easy. I don't care how often you play it. It's not just snap my fingers. We'll go back to a 2-3 and we'll do it fine. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that, but I did want to touch on this one last thing. Well, Malik Brown's not in foul trouble. Is that the quietest 5-by-5? I didn't even realize he had it until I looked at the box score after the game. But 11 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals and 6 blocks, or 6 steals and 5 blocks. That is the kind of game that we have seen from Malik Brown every now and then. But it's just the third 5-by-5 in college basketball on the men's side since 2009. Very sneaky, very quiet, good game for Malik.
The quintuple.
You know? That's its nickname. That's what all his friends call him. A pretty impressive performance that kind of flew under the radar with Chris Bell and everything else that happened on Wednesday night. So Syracuse does get a win in conference, 6-6 now on the season in the ACC, 94-92 over Louisville. We pivot over to the football side of things when we come back. Justin Wolf, preferred walk-on tight end transfer from Wagner, sat down with Wes Chang here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. We're going to talk a little Syracuse football recruiting. Syracuse offered Wagner transfer tight end Justin Wolf in January. He also took a visit to the Hill last month. We welcome him on the podcast now. Justin, how are you today?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, Justin. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on the Syracuse offer. How does it feel?
Appreciate it. It feels great, especially coming from a program that seems to go into a new direction, and getting recognized by, you know, Coach Fran and the great coaches that are there. I mean, it's unbelievable. Especially having my talent recognized by them. All the coaches there have great experience throughout football levels. And it's great to even have a connection with all of them. So, I mean, I'm extremely excited.
So you visited in January. You picked up a few offers since entering the portal. What's your timeline for making a decision?
Mm-hmm. So I'm currently still at SCORE right now, so I'll be graduating in May. So I will be going as a grad transfer, and I'll have 2 years. As of now, I am, you know, not rushing it, but I have time until about May because I'm trying to enroll in the summer wherever I go. But, I mean, after that visit with Syracuse, I'm extremely, you know, obviously looking at Syracuse, and I had a great time with Syracuse, and I'll see how, you know, next few weeks go, but I mean, I had a great time at Syracuse.
Yeah, so we touched on that Syracuse visit. What was the highlight of that trip?
I think it's the connections with the coaching staff. I think throughout the whole transfer portal, it's very hard to find a connection, a real connection, I guess you could say, with a coach, a meaningful connection. And especially throughout campus, I mean, the basketball game, wherever, you know, Coach Fran came, you could feel the Syracuse fans, you know, coming together. You can feel the Syracuse community coming together as a whole and recognizing that, all right, the football team, it's time to, you know, get back to where we were. And it's time for Syracuse to, you know, be top of the ACC again and win a national championship. And Coach Brown's goal is definitely that. And you can definitely feel the fans through that. When we came to the game, you can just hear the fan section screaming and screaming at him and cheering him on. And you can already feel the energy for the football side of it, even at a basketball game. So that's definitely one thing that I took from it. From, you know, it's not just the football aspect of it. It's more of an environment thing, and you can definitely tell that the whole university can feel Coach Fran and new coaches that, you know, are here together at Syracuse, that, you know, there's going to be a change.
So Justin, during that visit, you had a chance to talk to the coaching staff. So how did they tell you how you'd be used as a tight end, especially with the new offensive scheme under Coach Dixon?
Mm-hmm. So coming in, they're already talking about going 12 personnel. So that's already two tight ends on the field. And I mean, I told them from the front door, you know, I want to compete and I'm going to come. And whether it's making myself better, but it's also making the tight end group better. My coach is better, the O-line better, QB is better, wide receiver is better, you know, other students better. It's wherever I want to go, I want to make everyone better. And obviously myself better, but, you know, I look at it as a whole. And I think that's what Coach Fran is also helping me look at. You know, it's more of a team thing. So if I'm going to come compete at Syracuse, you know, it's a team. I'm going to get myself better at the end of the day, but I'm also going to get others around me getting better. So that's, you know, that's what we talked about. And that's what winning is. You know, you can't look at one person and win games. You got to look at everyone in the group, everyone in the position group. And it comes down to, you know, competing together and working together at it in order to win.
Justin, we'll get you out of here on this one. How's it feel to have an opportunity to play at the Power 5 level?
So, I mean, Wagner's FCS, but, you know, playing high level ball at Syracuse is extremely an honor. But, you know, that is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, you know, a place where it's a football breed. And that's definitely what I can, you know, that was my intention at Syracuse, was because Coach Fran. I knew Coach Fran was a big football guy, and, you know, he can certainly talk all day about football, and I love that about him. Coach Johnson, you know, I sat down with him for about an hour, and I was able to learn so much in an hour than, you know, my last few years of college football. You know, so yeah. The knowledge they have, the experience that they have, you know, there's nowhere else you can find that. So, I mean, I learned a lot from being here already at a visit, and who knows what else I can learn. So, you know, it's just the experience throughout the coaches that you get, it's amazing. So, I mean, the coaches that I've met and the experience that I've already had, it's amazing. And, you know, it's big time ball. So waking up every day knowing that you can compete for ACC and a national championship is nothing better than that.
Thank you, Justin. Good luck with the recruitment.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Justin Wolf, ladies and gentlemen, Central Michigan, Louisiana Monroe, and Lamar, among the other schools to have offered. He's offered at Syracuse as a preferred walk-on, and as you heard, he's going to take some time to decide, so we'll have to check in with him later in the spring to see where his recruitment's at. We will take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap things up here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, and I'm Wes Chang.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wrapping things up here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang and Matt D'Agostino. And always good to check in on old mates, Buddy Boeheim, coach's son. Still playing in the G League right now for the Detroit Pistons, the Motor City Crews. And over the weekend, in a game against Birmingham, Buddy actually exploded for 30. So we were seeing that occasionally during his time at Syracuse, where he would go off for a big game. But apparently it's the Chris Bell game through inspiration from Buddy over the weekend. Good to see he had a good performance as he tries to prolong his professional career. That Detroit Pistons team, I don't know why they're just not giving young guys a chance. I know they're trying to win some games. They have not been very successful, but good to see Buddy had a good game for their G League affiliate.
Hey, Matt, so speaking of Buddy Boeheim, how about his former backcourt mate, Joe Girard? Because when Syracuse hosts Clemson on Saturday, the prodigal son will return. Joe Girard will be back for the first and only time as a member of the Clemson Tigers. And he's having a really nice season, you know, shooting a career-best 42.8% from downtown, second leading scorer behind PJ Hall at 15 points a game. And Matt, if we could invent a time machine, go back to when we were in college, would you boo Joe Girard?
I don't boo any of my own team members that of players on teams that I root for. I've never been that guy. I know as a New Yorker, that's an odd thing. We hear a lot of booing from New York teams, the fans of those teams. But I've never been one to boo, so I did appreciate what Joe Girard brought to the table. The Glens Falls prodigy also plays into it with my upstate New York roots, so it'll be good to see him back in there. And again, we've talked about it. Syracuse could certainly use a guy like Girard on the roster at this point. Quick note on football, Wes. Fran Brown, 24/7 Sports, naming him the number one recruiter in the country in college football. Obviously, a lot of that done while he was at the University of Georgia. He personally recruited seven guys to that team, including 3 5 stars. But we've seen what he can do in his short time on the SU Hill. It's been good to see. And obviously now he's officially being accredited for all of his efforts.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about Fran Brown with all the stuff he's done with recruiting. And again, you know, Syracuse picked up a commitment from Malachi James last night. So they have 22 commitments and they are ranked 35th in the country, which again, you know, since Rivals has started tracking, the highest Syracuse has been prior to that is 44, which is quite fitting, given, you know, the historical legacy behind that number. But 35th in the country, the highest it's ever been. They have Fran Brown to thank for that. Syracuse is a difficult place to recruit too. So the fact that he's the recruiter of the year, he comes to Syracuse, and all of a sudden they have the best recruiting class in school history since they've been tracking over the last 24 years. That I think that says a lot.
Syracuse football, number 35th in the recruiting rankings. Wes Chang, number one on my favorite Syracuse podcaster rankings. For Wes, I'm Dags. Thanks for tuning in to the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.